Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan. 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 I'm saying this very aggressively today. Is there a goddamn hook to this podcast? You tell me what it is right goddamn now, Dan. Don't you take that time. Okay. All right. Are we playing charades? You can't make noise when we're playing charades.
I'm going to try and do this only visual. In mouth noises.
This is a very visual medium, podcasting.
Like, I was like, I can respond to you like, yes, in noises, but I can't say I know a lot about Alex Jones.
It's hard to do.
And you don't know anything about Alex Jones. I can't do that in mouth noises, but that is the twist of the show.
I see.
Guys, today we are going to be going over an episode that I, no exceptions, probably the most messages I've ever gotten from anybody. Please cover this.
Okay. All
now,
right.
I'll say that no one needed to send us a message when Alex Jones went on air drunk, and turned on Trump and said that he shoves ISIS up his dirty asshole.
No, that was a coming.
That was implied that was going to be an emergency episode.
Yeah.
Whereas today we're going to be going over Friday, May 25th, 2018, the most times that people got in touch with me. I'd like to give a thank you out to.
Did something happen?
Yeah.
What day is today?
It's Sunday when we're recording this.
Okay. All right.
Friday is what we're going over.
I am completely out of with my schedule. It has been like, I don't even know what's going on in the world right now. Did it get better?
What? The world?
Yeah.
No. People who have sent emails about buttons, they're coming.
They are.
I'm shitty at getting back to people about emails because I've been doing a whole lot of research into some stuff this month, along with your being busy with the club, comedy
right.
club. And so I've just been terrible about correspondence. I'll get back to everybody as soon as I can. But this, the first per- I can't, I don't have all the people who requested that I cover this.
Okay.
That we cover this.
But this
so
is a lot.
I will just give a shout out to the first person who did. Thank you to Dakota for pointing this out. Policy Wonk Dakota. We appreciate keeping your eyes and ears open.
Yes. I will withhold my thanks pending the situation that arises.
Also, I'd like to give a shout out to a new donor. I'd like to thank someone who just signed up with the team. We really appreciate it. You are now a policy wonk, Connor.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Connor McLeod, the immortal.
The bit is back.
The bit is back. Anytime there's a Highlander reference to be made, my friend, the bit comes back.
What about Highlander 2, The Quickening? What a reference to that. Something that is much better than
Highlander 2, The Quickening 2. Why did they go into the future? That was such a weird movie. Highlander 2 was one of the weirdest.
It's probably been 15 years since I've seen it, so I cannot answer
anything.
Any questions.
You didn't miss any. I think it's one of those movies where somebody wrote a different movie and they were like, it's a Highlander movie.
Sort of like Mario 2?
Yeah. Just like, movie, whatever. But-
another shout out I'd like to give, is someone who, is a raptor princess. I told you that we got a couple backloaded.
Yeah.
So we gotta, and this clip is way too long to play multiple times on an episode.
I was gonna say, should I go to the bathroom real quick? Are we doing?
One raptor princess per episode. That's our rule.
Okay.
I'd like to give a very special thank you to this person. She is wonderful. She's been around, for quite a while, now as a fan and someone who's so supportive since sent some really nice emails and is just the best. And we really appreciate it. We can't thank you enough out there, Maria. Thank you so much. You are now a raptor princess.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
I know how to read.
I am out of control. You know, I've never really seen a lot of white racism in my life. I really haven't. I bet you money there are few living black people that have been abused by white people as much as I have been abused by black people. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, both those guys were complete badasses. Complete studs.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? I'm Bernie Sanders.
Thank you so much, Maria. We really appreciate it. And if
thank you, Maria.
If you're out there listening and you'd like to support the show and you don't know exactly how, you can go check out our website, knowledgefight.com. Click support the show. We would appreciate it. Anyway,
hey, it's not a complicated process.
Not at all.
No.
And I have something that I would like to say that is a new bonus for the listeners.
Dan, your hand is raised. I will call upon you.
Thank you.
Yes.
For a while now, I've been getting slight criticism from people, some of them who watch the live streams.
In your world, that means they said something to you, and because they were saying it to you, you're like, what do you mean? What are you criticizing me about? Huh? What do you think I'm doing wrong?
Now, I agree with you in some
hey,
sense.
Hey, Dan, I think it would be nice. What are you saying? I'm not doing enough? Huh? Is that what you're saying?
I don't mean criticism in a way.
I know.
I don't mean criticism in a sense that I'm defensive about it.
Okay.
But a critique or something
okay.
like that.
All right.
A suggestion.
A literary criticism, so
exactly.
to speak.
Exactly. That's yes. the, in the same way that like you and I having a conversation could be an argument, though we're not fighting. We're having,
right.
there's an
right,
argument,
right.
but you know.
Yes.
Who cares?
It doesn't carry with it the negative connotations that it might otherwise.
So there's been some criticism. And I would like to let you know.
Yes.
I am, when this episode comes out, 7 days, no cigarettes.
Congratulations.
Thank
Dan.
You. So, there's been a number of people who suggested that I stop smoking.
All right. That's and not really a criticism. That's like,
that's a criticism.
No, that's a hope for you.
Let me translate it. You smoke too much. That's a criticism.
They were trying to say it, like, we want you to stay around. We don't want you to get lung
right,
cancer.
Right.
We love you, Dan.
It's a
please
critique.
Take care of yourself.
And
on the other hand, nobody has sent me that message. So I think everybody's critique is, Jordan, maybe keep going. Maybe you need it.
I think there have been the messages on the chat room during the live streams. I think have been combined.
Okay,
both
all
of
right.
you smoke too much.
No, I think it was just you.
I'd like to say I appreciate people who've sent messages that have been encouraging that direction. And you know, it's one of those things where I've always meant to, and
yeah.
I'm always meaning to. And it's at a moment where I'm like, I don't need to mean to anymore. I don't want to.
That's some self-actualization right there, Dan.
Somewhat. I'm
proud of you.
Thank you. It's all part
of- It only took a lot of messages from people.
A couple. and hitting the right moment or whatever. And it's been fascinating. I've really had no sincere urges to smoke in that-
How long have you been off?
Well, as we're recording this, 6 days.
No shit!
Yeah.
God. Worst friend.
Why?
Because I know nothing.
Well,
my schedule is stupid.
We've barely been able to talk this week
because
of your shows and
it's terrible.
I've been working 18, 20-hour days on some research.
Right.
Some stuff like I'm in the weeds.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And so but yeah, it's interesting and I don't know what else to say. Let's just jump into the episode.
All right.
No. Here's what it was. Here's what it was.
Yeah.
The issue that I'm dealing with in many ways is that like I'm realizing that, or this is what hit me about a week ago or so, is that I have an opportunity that's unlike an opportunity that will ever come up in my life ever again. And it's an opportunity that most people don't have ever.
Going to Austin on June 15th. Doors open at 9, 10
Bingo.
P.M. start.
Yes.
So I got to quit drinking. Yeah.
No, it's...
I'm already starting to have anxiety dreams where nobody shows up. It's terrible.
I think based on the Facebook invite, we can expect at least a few people.
All right.
But...
Facebook
invite. It's not that, although that is a piece of it. It's that we've created a thing and people have responded to it in such a way that they've been very supportive. And I'm able to make my job doing this. I get to live the life that I desire to live. I don't have to have a boss
right.
or anything like that other than, you know, stopping smoking when the listeners say you should stop smoking.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. That's not a
no.
command at all.
And
but
I work three jobs.
Stand-up isn't a job.
All right. Fair enough.
But
then why am I doing it 6 nights a week?
That's a mess.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I'm gonna cut.
Right.
I'm gonna cut this part out.
No. You sincerely want to live up to the support of our listeners.
It's not even that. It's that I'm starting to recognize and appreciate the situation that I'm in, and that a lot of the excuses that I've made for things in the past don't fly anymore. The idea that like, oh, I don't have time to meditate. You know what? What the fuck? Why don't you?
That's a fair point.
You don't have to sit on 2 hours of the train to get to and from work.
That's true.
You don't have that constraint. Oh, I don't have time to record my dreams when I wake up in the morning in order to advance dream recall so I can get back to the days when I used to be able to lucid dream. Yes, you do. You do have that time.
All right.
Stop making the excuses. I don't have the time to stop smoking. It doesn't even take time. You know, all of these things that I've aspired to, whether it take time or effort, I have the ability to do those things now, and it would be disrespectful to myself and to everybody if I didn't do them.
God damn it. We're all watching you grow as a person.
A little bit.
It's beautiful.
And then
beautiful.
Smash cut to next week.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm lighting 2 cigarettes for you at the same time. I got to catch up, man. I got to catch up.
And doing heroin.
Yeah.
That probably.
Well, that's not going to stop.
Gotta go talk to Barry Cooper. Get some Ibogaine. Anyway, Jordan, let's get this show started.
Let's do it.
You got a hard out, and we have a fun out of context drop from today's episode.
I'm crazy, so I can't go nuts.
All right.
What is this? Is this an old Western, or is he dropping aphorisms like bombs? What's going on here?
This should get you amped for what we have in front of us for this episode.
So are you saying he's going to go nuts?
Oh, man. I've posted this in a comment on the, our Facebook group, Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant. I stand behind this.
Uh-huh.
I've listened to hundreds of episodes of Alex Jones's show. I've never heard anything like this in my life.
No shit.
There's something that happens on this episode that is surreal on a level that is not to be believed.
All right, now I'm excited.
It tracks, and once I explain why it makes sense, it'll make total sense.
Wait, it does make sense.
It does.
What he says makes sense.
No.
Okay.
He's crazy.
Thank you.
So he can't go nuts.
He can't go nuts.
He's nuts.
And that's why he's crazy.
Exactly. Like a fox. If you look at, like, if you just take a snapshot of what happens on this episode, you'd be like, well, I'll be damned. You'd be very confused.
Okay.
But on closer analysis, it makes total sense.
All right.
It's still stupid and funny, but it makes total sense. Anyway, we have a bit of rhetoric to get through before we
get you're saying this is an episode of Growing Pains?
More or less. You take the good, you take the bad.
There you go.
What do you have left? You have Alex Jones having a ridiculous guest on his show. Spoiler alert, it involves a guest.
Okay, all right.
KRS-One is back!
No!
It's not.
Okay.
It's Guru, Gangstar. It's not. So
Talib Kweli's stopping by the studio.
I mean, he did the Chris Gethard show.
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah. Very different shows.
Okay.
Anyway, in this first clip that we're going to listen to, we have a bit of rhetoric to get through and dumb shit that Alex says, which is just, you know, it's fun to check in on that a little bit in the present day. So here's the first one. He's rambling about how the globalists are making a world for robots. They don't need humans anymore. They don't want them anymore. The future that's being built is for robots.
Sounds good.
But everything's being set up where it's a post-human future. That is the stated global compact of the Fortune 100. Mm. And that's what Elon Musk has warned you about.
Nope.
It's what Bill Joy has warned you about.
Nope.
It's what the Unabomber, who was in the MK Ultra mind control program as a volunteer, Theodore Kaczynski, has warned you about.
That actually might be.
And, you know, he thought just bomb technology heads and cause a revolution against technology because he thinks there's no way to adopt all this and survive.
He didn't really cause a revolution.
No. And the reason I mention MK Ultra is there's a lot of lawsuits that have been filed. In fact, I meant to get to that on like Tuesday and I didn't. Can you guys pull me that out of the stack? Also, yesterday's stack I wanted to get into of the declassification of the CIA running the media in the 60s and ordering them to use the term conspiracy theory. To criticize anyone exposing the planetary plan. So I thought we should show all this for people. It's all coming out right now.
He's just making all this up.
Yeah, the planetary plan?
Mm-hmm. The planet plan. Plan.
I was going to say, that seems a little redundant.
So this is something he talks about a lot.
Maybe you should just call it the planetary. And bold plan. That would kill two birds with one stone.
Absolutely. It's hard.
Like a portmanteau, but not.
It's hard verbally, but on the page, you'd get it.
Yeah.
This is something, this isn't new, and him talking about it being like this has just been declassified is nonsense. I mean, Trump didn't release most of the JFK documents.
No.
And the ones he did don't involve this at all. Like, because that's
and we've already had the planetary plan for a long time. Beastie right. Boys released it.
Absolutely. Interplanetary plan.
Yeah.
This is the reason they bring up JFK is because this is what this is surrounding. So this is a common argument that conspiracy theorists make that the CIA either created or popularized or redefined the term conspiracy theorist.
Or there were a lot of ors there. It could be literally anything.
Well,
is that what?
That's because there's a lot of different branches of conspiracy theory.
They either did this or they did this or they did that or they did something else, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did one of them.
They did it.
But there's very.
And then you pick your one.
There's conspiracy theorists that wear each of those hats.
Oh.
You know, like there's this school of thought, there's this school of thought,
all
whatever.
All of them aluminum foil.
Fedoras. So this was all in the wake of the JFK
with the feather,
assassination.
Yeah.
The reason that they suspect that they did this, or they claim that they did this, was in order to discredit anyone who dared to disagree with the findings of the Warren Commission. Almost uniformly, they point to a CIA document called Dispatch 1035-960. Which was released as part of the FOIA request in 1976 made by the New York Times. This document does not, or it does include the word conspiracy, and does suggest ways that folks can argue against these conspiracies about Oswald not acting alone and what have you. But a close reading does not reveal that it says that we should, quote, make the term conspiracy theorist popular in order to discredit critics, which is the allegation
right.
that they make.
Right. Actually, in that dispatch, they said that none shall dare call it a conspiracy,
that's,
I believe. Isn't that
another dispatch?
No, isn't that what they did?
That's another dispatch.
Oh, okay.
Working 18 hours a day.
All right.
So this is just something that people are taking out of the text in a way that's completely unwarranted. This is also, if you read the dispatch, it's very clearly a document that's made and meant for non-domestic use, which is what the CIA is supposed to be about.
Right. There isn't it against the law for them to work on home soil.
And based on what is in this document, you'd really have to be kind of dumb or intentionally obtuse to not recognize that this is about foreign media.
Guess
and
what?
Stuff like that.
Dan.
What?
That's where we live.
Oh, yes, it is.
That cross section, that's knowledge fight.
So
that's where we are.
Here's two really important quotes from that should be pretty illuminating in terms of what this is about. Innuendos of such seriousness affects not only the individual concerned, but also the whole reputation of the American government. So the reputation of the American government is being reflected in the eyes of foreign folks.
Right.
Here's the other one. Quote, where possible, counter speculation by encouraging reference to the commission's report itself. Or where possible, counter speculation by encouraging reference to the commission's report itself. Open-minded foreign readers should still be impressed by the care, thoroughness, objectivity, and speed with which the commission worked.
They even had to put it in a manual. Where possible, point to proof.
Yeah, exactly.
Point to the proof that we have. Don't point to speculation.
Point to primary sources.
Yeah.
And then open-minded foreign readers should be, they should get it. They should understand
right.
it.
It's very
clear that it's an attempt to preserve the image of the U.S. government in foreign countries, which falls under the CIA's purview.
Kinda.
Whether you disagree with them existing in the first place or not, I think there's an interesting argument you could have. They're in their realm
here. Yeah.
So moreover, what's important?
Their scope of practice.
The term conspiracy theorist has existed in its current form, meaning the exact same thing that it does today.
Ooh, I'm going to go with something absurd, like 800 AD or something like that.
That would be great.
It has to be something absurd. Like it's in like the 1700s at least, right?
You're not too far off. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, this is the earliest
Those
reference.
Those fucking liars.
The earliest reference that's listed in there is 1870.
Okay.
So that's still a ways back.
Yeah.
The CIA was formed in 1947, so that makes the idea that they created the term pretty much impossible. The idea that they popularized it, again, seems impossible, since going back to the late 1800s, the term is being used in such diverse settings as these, like, theosophical journals, where they're talking about Helena Blavatsky, and that being a conspiracy, the Rhodes Journal of Finance, and the American Historical Review. It's been a popularly known, widely used term for around about 150 years.
It was the same term they used whenever the rich people tried to assassinate FDR, or,
The
coup.
Plot.
Yeah, the business coup.
Yeah, plot.
Yeah.
So.
I prefer coup.
Alex would then, at this point, if I were having an argument with him about this, he would say, what about Operation Mockingbird?
All right. Let's get into Operation Mockingbird.
And that's when I would tell him that I understand that you believe that Operation Mockingbird is about the CIA taking over the media in the 1950s, but unfortunately, that is not what it was. In 2007, a report called Family Jewels was declassified. Are you aware of this?
Yeah. Run the Family Jewels. Exactly. I remember it. Yeah.
It ran down all the things that the CIA had done that would probably be considered illegal. In the report, there was mention of something called Project Mockingbird, which was described thusly. Quote, Project Mockingbird, a telephone intercept activity, was conducted between 12th of March 1963 and 15th of June 1963 and targeted two Washington-based newsmen who at the time had been publishing news articles based on and frequently quoting classified materials of this agency and others, including top secret and special intelligence. The CIA were spying on journalists trying to ascertain how they had top secret intel. This makes the name of the operation make more sense, seeing as mockingbirds are primarily known for mimicking sounds made by other birds and insects in the wild, not necessarily understanding what they're communicating, just as the CIA had reason to believe that these journalists are just repeating things that they may or may not have known was top secret information.
Right.
So,
Alex was actually talking about that horrible exposé on that... That just monster Atticus Finch, right? That's what he was talking about?
The sequel is what he's more into.
Yeah. Where he goes back full racist. Right. That's the goal.
Yeah. So
even Finch came to our side.
Gives us some hope. So this would be, it'd be fucking stupid of me to sit here and say, that the CIA doesn't have relationships with the media or anything like that.
Right.
All I'm saying is that Alex Jones's argument by just yelling Project Mockingbird and shit, that doesn't match up with reality. So the CIA...
It is him repeating something that he's heard before, though, without actually knowing what he's talking about.
There's no
doubt
about it.
So that fits perfectly.
So the Church Committee looked into a lot of the CIA's activities. And they released the Church Report in 1976, and it laid out most of it. Largely, the CIA maintained a network of several hundred foreigners who they used to sway opinion in the press of foreign countries, which, again, I'm not into. I'm not super into that, but it is what they are for.
Yeah.
I don't know. So
I mean, in this situation, it's less like they're doing spycraft and more like they're running PR.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
Foreign propaganda. And
yeah.
I mean, like, again, I think that that's kind of disrespectful to the people of those countries, but whatever. Anyway, they also found that, quote, approximately 50 of the agency's assets are individual American journalists or employees of the U.S. media organizations. And that sounds scary, but it's super important to consider the context that comes later in the document. One of the things they have, they bring up is that about half of those people aren't actually employees of those media companies, they're freelancers.
Okay.
Or something like that.
All right.
Who contribute articles periodically.
Yeah.
But also, this is super important. More than a dozen United States news organizations and commercial publishing houses formerly provided cover for CIA agents abroad. A few of these organizations were unaware that they provided this cover. A lot of the intersection of the CIA and the media is the CIA using media organizations as unwitting cover stories for their agents. Either way, this is far more complicated than saying that the media took over, got taken over by the CIA in 1952.
So that was like
some
real spycraft kind of shit where they were clandestinely operating, hiding in plain sight, mm-hmm. using the media to protect themselves.
Yep.
All right. That's clever.
Yeah.
Huh.
So there is,
like, I mean, fine.
There is this overlap that you could say, like, oh, that's the CIA trying to infiltrate the media in order to put stories through that serve their interests domestically, or it could be, I work for the CIA. I get a job with Time Magazine in order for it to make sense for me to be overseas somewhere.
Doing
a secret investigation. No one gets really suspicious about it because I work for Time or something like that.
Right.
That there's a lot of that.
See, now this doesn't bother me so much because I would prefer a, like, in my Pollyanna, there are still spies. Like, spycraft is fun.
Right.
Like, but with no stakes. Like, nobody is gonna win or lose. It's just everybody stealing shit. Like, it's really more, I want Ocean's 11 spycraft.
Fair.
Like, everybody's trying to pull off a big get.
It's more fun.
Yeah, it's just more fun. The world is a more fun place where somebody's rifling through trash trying to find some documents or whatever.
A smash and grab job. is no fun.
No.
The LaFonsa heist?
Amazing.
Is fun.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and that's how we explain war.
Exactly. So, that has all been a little bit long, but it's my way of saying that, the CIA did not create or popularize or tell the media to use the term conspiracy theorist. That's all a load of horse shit, as is, this dispatch document and using it to say that it means anything. I think the CIA has done a lot of really horrible shit.
Oh, yeah.
In their time. But,
oh, yeah.
But
and that's why we had to appoint a torturer as the director.
But in the
I mean, you can't not.
But that's why.
That would be like not appointing Oliver North to be the head of the NRA.
Totally.
You gotta do it.
But that's why it pains me to have to sit here and explain, like, yeah, they're not bad on this one. You're wrong about that.
Right.
CIA didn't do that.
Right.
They suck.
Yeah,
we do with Soros all
that's
the time.
But that's what they have to do in these kinds of things, because they actually support the really awful shit the CIA does.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to invent reasons to dislike the CIA, because they can't be like, yeah, the CIA tortures people. We're totally on board with that. We love the CIA.
That's a good point. But to be fair, I mean, Alex hasn't talked about it lately, but he has been pretty consistent generally over the years being anti-torture. So, like, I just want to...
Sure. Anyway, fine.
Anyway,
whatever.
He's also dumb. And this next clip is real dumb. All right.
But make no mistake, when you hear about Weinstein...
Oh, no!
Being indicted for multiple felony counts of rape and sexual abuse, torture, basically. That's all because of the American people standing up to the media, to Hollywood, to the bullies, and getting Donald John Trump elected. Now, I told you, from CIA, MI6, Army, Navy, Marine Corps sources, many of which have been on the show by name, that Trump's, one of his main planks, was going after sex trafficking.
He's just talking about Sawman Sawyer, but hold on, this clip's not done.
And not just the garden variety, but the Harvey Weinstein on the plane of the Lolita Express owner, who has been convicted of trafficking young girls to his slave island.
So he's trying to come up with the name Jeffrey Epstein, but he can't come up with it because he's just like, I can't remember the bit.
Why isn't he pulling Allison Mack in? That seems like a slam dunk.
He does bring it up later, but he says, like, you think I didn't know about the Nexium cult? Like,
sure.
No,
you absolutely did not.
Son of a bitch. You didn't.
So here's the thing. Based on this clip and the insane thing that he just said, in a certain way, he might be correct.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
All right. So, by electing Donald Trump, women realized, fucking no one's coming. So we might as well have to do this shit ourselves.
Right.
So the Me Too movement is not, it's not like Trump helped it, but he's caused it. With his evil. He's a rapist! He's a fucking rapist!
We have a lot to get.
Fine.
I find a lot of that, like, he helped the Me Too movement by making it serious or whatever argument. I find a lot of that to be pretty untasteful.
No, it's stupid.
It's uncompelling. But also, I think that, you know, there are people who tried to speak up about it before and were threatened by Mossad agents. That, you know, Weinstein had hired and shit like that.
Yeah.
So there's like, he was spying on people and stalking them and shit like that.
Yeah, the same ones that, Donald Trump hired from Cambridge Analytica.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So at the end there, Alex is trying to bring up how he always talks about how Clinton was on jets with Epstein, their buddies, and all this stuff.
So is Trump.
I realize we've never actually really discussed the details of it. And so I went and looked it up. I looked into it and I researched this. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the friendship of Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein,
the guy
who runs the Lolita Express that Alex talks about all the time and uses to beat like a foam bat over Bill Clinton's head. This is from the New York Magazine, an article called Jeffrey Epstein, International Money Man of Mystery, that came out in 2002, 6 years before it was revealed that he was a guy who liked to lure underage girls to his mansion. Quote, Epstein likes to tell people that he's a loner, a man who's never touched alcohol or drugs, and one whose nightlife is far from energetic. And yet, if you talk to Donald Trump, a different Epstein emerges. Quote, I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy.
Sure.
Terrific
Great.
Guy.
Great.
Trump booms from a speakerphone.
Great.
Quote, he's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much
no!
as I do.
No! No! What?
Hold on.
God damn it.
It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side.
No! What?
No doubt about it. Jeffrey enjoys his social life.
All right, all right, all right.
That's
so,
all a Donald,
so Donald Trump,
Trump quote.
Donald Trump just said, no doubt about it, he's a pedophile.
He likes,
oh, yeah.
He likes beautiful women on the young side.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. I am not going to say something incriminating right now.
He's a terrific guy. I love hanging out with him. He
love
likes
him.
Young women.
He loves, and I'm always there while he's there with young women. I don't ask for an ID. So I'm just there. And I'm Donald Trump. You know, sometimes they just come over me, and I am a pedophile, too.
So this is from 2002, years before it was public knowledge that he was a pedophile.
Right.
And had a plane where he would, I mean, who knows? All the
and this
specific
is years before we find out that Donald is a pedophile.
And Donald Trump, clearly, if you read that quote, you know that he knows.
Oh, he, of course he fucking knows.
So, here's...
In retrospect, it doesn't get more knowing wink to the camera than that.
Right. So here's an article from the Daily Beast from November 29th, 2017. Quote, in a previously unreported comment to the now-defunct Maximum Golf magazine, Donald Trump singled out...
I can't imagine why that went defunct.
Donald Trump singled out a young socialite at his club at Mar-a-Lago by telling a reporter, quote, there's nothing in the world like first-rate pussy.
Okay. All right.
The remark never made its way to print as a top.
Oh, in Maximum Golf, they didn't have the they didn't have the balls to toss that one in there.
As a top
in Maximum Golf, they didn't break the Donald Trump loves pussy story.
A top editor of the magazine forbade the reporter from putting it in the publication. But the former journalist who wrote the article, Michael Corcoran, and another editor both confirmed that it was said by Trump as Corcoran followed him around at his Florida golf club for a profile. In 2000, Corcoran was a guest on Trump's 727 that weekend, and he wasn't the only one. The article published in Maximum Golf magazine notes Trump had to wait at the Marine terminal for now-disgraced pedophile billionaire Jeffrey Epstein and his society gal pal, Miss Maxwell, who have since been accused of by dozens of women of running what amounted to a sex slave ring. Corcoran, who didn't know the pair at the time, remembers Trump standing in the doorway of the plane yelling to them, "You broke the cardinal rule, Jeffrey. Never be late for someone else's plane." Though not mentioned in the article...
Kill him.
Though not mentioned in the article...
What?
Not mentioned in the article, Corcoran now recalls a young woman boarding with them.
God
Quote,
damn it.
I honestly couldn't guess her age, but she was young, made to look a bit older, he says, adding that nothing untoward happened during the flight. Trump's friendship with Epstein isn't news. Before the mysterious financier was jailed for operating a sexual pyramid scheme where he allegedly paid minors around $200 for sexual massages that included groping and rape, Epstein was a regular at Mar-a-Lago and had, according to a sworn deposition from Epstein's brother, ferried the future president at least once on his plane. It has never been reported that Trump returned the favor, which he did.
Yeah.
Now, here is from a New York Daily News article that came out on March 21st, 2017. Headline, Trump's labor nominee reportedly made court deal with notorious billionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Quote, Epstein, a billionaire money manager and one-time acquaintance of Trump's, served 13 months in prison after pleading guilty to one count of soliciting an underage girl for prostitution in 2008, court papers show. The relatively light sentence prompted widespread outrage, as federal prosecutors had alleged that the 64-year-old Epstein sexually abused at least 40 girls, some of them who were apparently as young as 13.
Great.
Epstein's brief prison Great. Stint was the result of a non-prosecutor...
Brief?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say brief prison stint?
13 months. That's brief. For that? For what he was...
Why did he get a brief prison sentence?
Well, interesting. It was the...
That is not okay.
It was...
Brief should not be anywhere near that.
My man...
Prison sentence where he died miserably beaten to death is a great sentence there.
My man, his brief prison stint was the result of a non-prosecution agreement drawn up by Trump's labor pick... Alexander Acosta.
God damn it!
Who at the time served as the U.S. attorney in Miami, the Washington Post first reported on Tuesday. Trump's first labor secretary nominee, Andrew Puzder, pulled his name from consideration last month after it was revealed that he had hired an undocumented housekeeper and been accused of domestic violence by his ex-wife. He has the best people. He's the best people.
Can't we actually, like, with this shit, isn't it technically legal for the cops to seize all of their property?
Should be.
Under civil forfeiture, right? Like, if you can steal somebody's house because somebody had some weed in there, if Epstein was at Mar-a-Lago running a sex ring, guess what? We get Mar-a-Lago now. Fuck you.
There's no billionaire
where you just have a FBI agent go through a file and you don't find some horrifying crime in there.
Yeah.
If you become a billionaire, you're already a criminal.
It's bad. It's real
God
bad.
God damn it.
So Epstein,
eat the rich. Eat them. That's supposed to be a metaphor. I mean I want to chew on Donald Trump's fucking leg.
He and Epstein were clearly pretty good friends for years.
Yeah.
Years and years.
Yeah.
And clearly
slept with the same girls.
Clearly as far back as 2002, he was aware that he liked
and 15 to years
fuck
before
young
that.
Women.
Yep.
Well, I mean, who knows if
well, he's probably
that
lying
revelation
about that.
Could have
yeah.
come in year 7.
Yeah, whatever.
Who knows? But yeah. he was aware of it and that didn't stop him from being friends with him. They had, he was a regular at Mar-a-Lago, where actually one of the people who worked at Mar-a-Lago, has accused this other person, Miss Maxwell, of trying to recruit her into the sex, operation.
Great.
While she worked at Mar-a-Lago.
Great.
So there's all this, and then you have the guy who cut a deal for Epstein to not have to do much prison time, mysteriously getting picked as the labor secretary.
Coincidence.
Right, absolutely a coincidence, but when Trump becomes president, there's the appearance of a little bit of, hey, help me out, you help me out.
This is the most blatantly evil administration
bad.
I think we've ever had.
It's real bad.
Like
you
our second,
a little bit.
Our second one was like the Teapot Dome scandal. Like what are you talking about? This is the most blatantly criminal organization that's ever run the United States.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
I have to skip some stuff.
Yeah,
There's no way we're gonna make it in time.
I'm sorry.
So I'm gonna skip this next clip. It's just about, I can't skip it though. I'll just not get into it as deeply.
Okay.
But this is important, because Alex reveals who one of the sources of information is, and it's not good.
So that's all coming up, but I told you this was happening. There's like an eightfold arrest of child traffickers, pedophiles.
Not. That's
We're not talking about people that just have some child porn. We're talking about the producers of it. And it's happening all over the country, and that's why the Democrats are so rattled. Because their extortion system is based on this, and Trump knows all about it from, who did I tell you back in November last year?
No.
5 days before the election, 2 days
Don't
before
say
he went
it.
Public in Breitbart.
Don't
I
say
was
it.
Told by high-level people in the CIA and Pentagon that Eric Prince was quarterbacking this
God
move of Trump
damn
to bring down
it!
The pedophiles. Now, I didn't know that was true from my sources, though they've been really accurate. 3-4 days later, he's in Breitbart saying, yes, it's true. So credit goes where credit's due. Eric Prince. Yes, the former founder of Blackwater, that the left
torturer,
demonizes and
war criminal,
says this horrible person.
Murderer.
Why is that? Why is that the case? Why did Blackwater
murderer.
Get blamed for all this stuff that other mercenary groups did?
So just for fun, Alex, you know, in the past, super against Blackwater. If you go back to 2009, he fucking hates them. He calls them murdering scumbags. He just
they
goes,
are
he's right in 2009
he nailed it
goes on and on about how they're committing war crimes. He sounds much like you're muttering a second ago.
God.
Yeah, it's insane.
I why can't anybody just actually fucking believe anything?
Right.
Like, why can't he at least still believe that? Can't you give me one fucking thing that you actually fucking believe in?
No.
Everything
happened.
Is fucking negotiable.
Something happened.
God damn
it. We're gonna
it.
Get to it as we go
God
through the past.
God damn you.
Don't
damn
worry
you.
About it. Don't worry about
All
it.
All right.
I've got you covered in
All
the
right.
past.
All right. Fucking fine.
So, but the other thing is, I looked into this and I searched the entirety of Breitbart's back catalog, and
yeah.
I can only find one article that's relevant at all to the topic that Alex is talking about that involves Eric Prince that came out in November, and it's from November 4th, 2016, not 2017, and all it is about Anthony Weiner's laptop. And it's revealing that maybe there are inside forces involved that seek to over-dramatize that and lie about what was in it in order to force an investigation.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case, but if you read that article and read Eric Prince's words and know what a slimy piece of shit he is...
He's a fucking garbage man.
It kind of sounds like... And because he's dropping all this stuff that isn't true. Like, listen to this. Wiener and Huma Abedin, his wife, the closest advisor of Hillary Clinton for 20 years, have both flipped. Like, he's saying shit like that. That didn't happen. He's lying. He's creating a false reality. Anyway.
He is a man who was never born with a heart, and where his brain is supposed to be, there is a garbage bag filled with farts.
He's a
fucking monster.
Yeah, he's a complete pile of shit. So, also, in other news, Donald Trump got played like a pro by North Korea. He didn't understand that they do not want to denuclearize. They have no interest in unilateral disarmament.
Currently,
never have.
Currently, there's a better chance of North Korea becoming a better ally to South Korea than us.
Entirely possible.
That makes more sense.
So then Trump got...
Both Koreas are like, wait a second. Maybe the reason that we've been fighting this long is because America's fucking garbage.
Hmm.
Are they the ones who... Oh.
So Trump.
Maybe we should be more like North Korea. That's really what South Korea should do. The only way for them to stay safe is to just bail on America and be like, hey, North Korea, can we have some of your nukes? I bet we can make them better.
So Trump got really petty and decided to cancel his, staged meeting between himself and Kim Jong-un.
Hilarious.
Here's Alex's take on it.
Well, North Korea has blown up their nuclear site a few days ago. They've released the video. That is a big victory for America and Trump. Even if the summit's been canceled for now, that's just part of the negotiation process due to John Bolton and others trying to sabotage things. But we'll continue to track that.
That sounds true.
So that
I actually buy.
That's interesting. I mean, they did blow up the Pyongyang nuclear testing site.
And they will suspiciously not allow outside countries to take a look and confirm whether or not that destroyed their nuclear system.
See, but here's the thing. It for that reason and others, it's absurd to say that this is a victory. I'm going to read to you from an article in The Independent, from an article that came out on November 2nd, 2017. A reported tunnel collapse at North Korea's key nuclear testing site has sparked fears of a major radiation leak. At least 100 workers at the Punggye-ri nuclear site are feared to have died in the accident that happened around 10th of September, following the regime's sixth atomic test earlier that month. Japanese broadcaster TV Asahi reported. Then, go a little bit further into the future, and this is from CNN. North Korea announced on April 20th that the country had, quote, realized nuclear weaponization and would no longer need to test nuclear weapons. To demonstrate its commitment, it said it would destroy the nuclear test site.
Right.
No weapons inspectors or non-proliferation experts were invited to witness the event of the destruction that happened a couple of days ago here in present day. And it was unclear whether the explosions rendered the tunnel inoperable or only caused limited damage. Before Thursday's explosions, experts had warned that the tunnel's destruction could destroy valuable evidence of the state of North Korea's weapons programs. They told CNN that they would want to take samples as well as radiation counters to assess the levels in the atmosphere. Journalists who attempted to take radiation measuring equipment into North Korea said it was confiscated. Also, we have no idea if that was their only nuclear testing site. We don't have any really solid intelligence about what they're up to. So celebrating this as a victory seems foolish.
Premature, at least. I think maybe we're only at put up a banner that says mission accomplished levels of confirming it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, as we know, is the lowest level of confirming things.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So, in this next clip, I'm sorry, I'm rushing through some of this stuff because I do think it's important to deal with the narratives that he has, but we do also need a good chunk of time to go over the most important part.
Okay.
Which is the interview that we're about to get to.
Okay.
But for now, we have to listen to this, and this is Alex lying about the EU.
They're coming after the internet in America using the EU.
They're not.
All draconianly implemented, and China is
democratically
exempt because the Chinese dictator, he went to Davos 15 months ago last year.
Point of order. Trump was at Davos also.
Don't think about it.
And he said, I will hold the New World Order up. I will hold the euro up. We will defeat Trump. And Juncker shook his hand and said, quote, we're going to have a trade war with America, and we're going to remove Trump, and we're going to defeat America.
He said, quote, Alex said quote there.
Right.
So this is a
quote. So this is clearly a quote.
This is a quote.
And he said it with that same inflection, too, because Alex, as we know, is a great impressionist.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He gave a speech where he responded to Trump's threats to impose heavily increased tariffs on steel and aluminum imported to the EU. This would have been majorly disruptive to many industries, such as the German auto manufacturing industry, which represents about a fifth of the country's exports. What Juncker said was, quote, "We will continue our negotiations with the United States, but we refuse to negotiate under threat." So, in response to Trump's proposal, some people in the EU started preparing for a trade war. From the Chicago Tribune, quote, "EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström," perfect name.
Great name.
Yeah, for
Cecilia
this.
Cecilia Malmström?
Malmström?
Oh, I thought you said, like,
it's close.
Giant fucking close whirlpool storm in the middle of the ocean. Like, yeah, you are the right person for this gig.
It's really close to Maelstrom. Said Wednesday that the EU is circulating among member states a list of U.S. goods to target with tariffs so that it can respond as quickly as possible.
Right.
Which would essentially be the state of trade war. Quote, this is another quote. This is also from Juncker. "This is basically a stupid process. The fact that we have to do this, but we have to do it. We can also do stupid."
That's a little bit of a different. Alex, you're just saying countries threatened with trade war are like, I guess we have to trade war then, so we might as well be prepared. You guys are fucking stupid, so.
It's dumb, the idea you're proposing, but we've got to respond in kind.
I mean,
it's not, because otherwise
you will
destroy our economies.
Yeah.
Anyway, in this next clip, this clip isn't done. The way
EU calls America children. America agrees.
Reach for Kelman. America says, I need my blankie. So the way this clip ends is shocking, but we have to get through some bullshit to get there, but.
"That was in the foreign news, a hereditary grandson of the most powerful Nazi family in Germany, the Junkers, the damn bombers were called Junkers."
I don't care. I mean,
so is the store Yonkers, which just went out of business. So there you go.
And the part of, New York, Yonkers.
Yeah. See, there you go.
I don't care anymore about these "you're descended from a Nazi" stuff. I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, because you're not, Alex, and you are. But, so there you go.
But Alex is descended from Confederate royalty.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I just don't care. I don't care who... The sins of the father don't fall to the son unless the son carries up the work of the father. That's how I would put it. I just don't care anymore. This is stupid.
It is stupid.
The munitions factories, everything. Juncker. He told us, "I'm going to defeat you."
Didn't.
And Hollywood.
Could
and
you
the
put
communist
this in
Chinese,
limerick format?
And the Islamicist and the EU and the Chi-Coms are all against us. And the average leftist doesn't even know it, doesn't even care, and thinks I'm the enemy. When
you
all
are.
We're trying to do with Trump is save something, you idiots.
Save
We've been
something.
Completely overrun. We have been completely sold out, you fools. You got SOB Nazis telling us that they're going to defeat us. Well, just like you were arrogant before, you're going to get your ass handed to you, Juncker, and your Chinese communist dictator, and that Nazi collaborator Soros. You are all going to pay. You're going to get beat. America will defeat you. Russia will defeat you. You're going to get your asses kicked politically. We know what's going on now.
What?
Why did you bring Russia in there?
What was that?
You could have just not done it.
I think it's because he got too excited. I legitimately think that's probably a Freudian slip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because what he normally would say is, "We're going to defeat you. The Republic is going to defeat you.
Or the West is going to defeat you."
Right.
But he can't say the West because he's fighting the EU or whatever it is.
He's
fucking fine.
He's fighting
the West. Yeah. Well, the West is going to defeat the West. It's about time. They're Greenwich Mean Time. We're the West. Central time zone.
Screaming out to break with "Russia will defeat you."
Yep.
Just doesn't feel good.
No, it's right.
It doesn't feel good.
It's time.
Mm.
This is the problem. problem with how stupid these people are.
Yeah.
It's terrible. You are constantly yelling about not colluding with other foreign powers. And at the same time, you're like, yeah, we colluded.
Yeah.
I mean, that, no big deal.
All these people are in bed with foreign governments. And man, do I love this one that seems to hate our country.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I understand why all this is happening now. I have a piece of information from 2009 that I think that we have.
We got a smoking gun of sorts?
Not really, but there's a piece. I don't think Alex is into America. We'll go over it on our next episode.
Okay.
This is a little bit of a tease. I don't think Alex likes America.
Well, at least we agree on something.
And I think that's why he likes Russia.
Okay.
Because they don't like America either.
All right. That I'm fine with that as long
government.
As if you believe if as long as you believe something instead of just tossing everything aside at any given point in time.
I don't know how to say this with that. Who cares? Let's move on. One of the things that's very consistent about Alex is he's a bigot, and here he is being a bigot and then throwing out a movie quote.
Trump is doing policies that any mainline analyst admits really will help the average person. He's fighting as hard as he can for you and this country.
Even the conservatives don't admit that.
It's dumb to be a nationalist. They go, oh, that's all backwards and whatever.
Their best guess is like, it might not be worse.
It's the EU and communist China and a bunch of mega banks allied with a 1.8. I keep saying 1.3. That's old numbers. 1.8 billion Muslims. That was 1.3 5 years ago. It's 1.8 now.
That's not possible.
Game over, man. Game over.
Great.
It's insane. By the way, I'm going to come back from break and hit most important news yet. We got a bunch of guests coming up. I want to put the phones up as well. We have store-wide free
Ad
shipping.
Pivot.
We always have shipping that's free or $50, but it's
smooth.
Muslims are increasing by 500% every 3 years.
No, it's 1.
Or 150 or 50% or something.
To 1.8, so yeah. It's 500 million?
Yeah.
Wait, no, I don't care. I'll tell you that much.
I don't care.
I am profoundly unmoved by these demographic arguments.
At that rate, in only 30 years, everyone on the planet will be a Muslim.
I don't care. Really.
I think it's something that you should care about.
But I wouldn't have wanted, like, you know, let's say...
There's climate change, and then there's a lot of Islam. Those are the two things to worry about right now.
Well, let me propose this thought experiment for you. I would
not gonna lie. The entire planet, too much Islam. I'm gonna throw that out there. If the entire planet is Muslim, that's too much Muslim.
I agree with you.
That's the one time I will admit there's too many Muslims.
I agree with you on that, but I would also say that like a lot of the versions of Christianity that are around right now, I don't want any more of them.
There are already too many Christians.
I don't want more of the Christianity that existed, let's say,
now
100 years ago. Whatever, you know, like, I don't think that's great. I think we all have a long ways to go in terms of, becoming the ideal people that we want to be, whether Christian, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, Shinto.
I believe it's currently like polling at 75 or 80% of evangelical Christians really support what ICE is doing right now.
So, they love it.
So I don't like Christianity at all.
It's not great.
At all.
The other thing too is that like
as well, although I will admit Christ did say in Matthew 10:11, get them fuckers out of here.
Well, like I grew up, my dad's a religious studies professor, and as such I grew up around people of different faiths and different cultural heritages and like
right. Globalists.
Sure. I'd go to the mosque in town from time to time, and I knew Muslim kids growing up. And
did they ever go to pool supply stores?
I don't know if we had any in Colombia. We had to have, but I was unaware of them. They didn't tell me about it. It's where the Muslims
it's only
hang out.
It's only Muslim supply stores.
So the reason I'm bringing this up is that like throughout my childhood and throughout my formative years, I could very easily imagine myself dating someone from like a Muslim family.
Yeah.
I could see myself marrying that person. I could see myself having kids with them. And then what? Is my kid any less my identity.
No, he's just a terrorist.
But you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
this idea of
terrorist,
this idea of culture.
I understand that you're trying to destroy the West, Dan.
The idea of
our birth rates are low.
The idea of cultural death through demographic shifting or something like that is so stupid. It's so
not least of which because it's the exact opposite of America's entire history.
Yeah.
The entire point of America is that doesn't matter where you come from, you get folded into our culture and our culture becomes better for you.
And
our culture gets fucking better food.
And
like our culture gets fucking Bollywood and shit like that. Like that's what we get out of people moving to this fucking country.
Well,
our culture doesn't go anywhere. Our culture only gets bigger and more encompassing and more beautiful.
It's a trade that we do. It's like you come here and we all absorb into America, and then what you get as a promise from that is that we will also celebrate your culture.
Yeah.
We'll value whatever you have and you've brought to the table. And that's just that's something that demographic cliff numbers and all this bullshit is so stupid. And it's a part of the social contract that I think America has lost its way on a little bit.
Oh yeah. I mean, we've always been shit.
There's a rank refusal to celebrate Islamic culture, quite frankly.
Yeah, but that's always also been built into our, you know, we had the Know Nothing Party. Like we had all of these fucking people.
Totally.
We own slaves. We're monsters. America's garbage.
Well, I mean,
America created Eric Prince. We're bad.
There's cultures that we just have left hanging, not finished the high five with.
I would probably say the very first one that was in America is
natives,
a big one. Yeah.
Native people.
Yep.
I think the closer you are or further away you are from visually being white, the less chance you have of America celebrating your culture in a
right.
full way.
Right.
Because I mean, we do, people do celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Wrongly.
So, I don't
incorrectly.
Know. I'm gonna not go any further with this thought, just to say that this is stupid. I hate the idea that Alex thinks that there's too many Muslims, and I also hate that he thinks that that is somehow game over. That's ridiculous.
It's fine.
So now, Jordan.
Now we get to it.
America has its back up against the wall.
We do.
And Alex.
Because America is pushing our back up against the wall.
Alex is going to talk about it a little bit here in this next clip.
All right.
And these globalists all bet on the wrong team. And now we are facing, as Americans, the communist Chinese, the socialist EU, unelected,
sure.
1.8 million Muslims, Hollywood, and all the brainwashed leftists and people in this country.
That's us.
Holy shit. They're up against everything.
Yeah.
The odds are so stacked against them. How are they ever going to make it
no
out
chance.
Of this pickle?
No chance. It's now, at the same time, they are winning.
At the same time, they're making all this up.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, we have a special surprise guest in studio today that, believe me, you don't want to miss. We're very
Tom
excited
Dreesen.
About this. And believe me, this individual was one of the biggest news stories this week. I think I'll tell you at the start of the next hour who will then be in studio coming up in 30 minutes. We're very excited about this. Just going to leave it at that. In fact, is he here yet?
So it's a guy.
He's here. Wow. Well, we really, really thank him for flying down here.
So he's not from Austin. Any idea who he's talking about?
Flying down here. Biggest news story.
Guy, not from Austin.
Not from Austin. I don't know. One of the heroes who protected the teacher who took three bullets protecting students in our other mass shooting.
Nope, that guy was from Austin. He wasn't.
No. Just...
No. That's not who it is.
Okay.
Any other guesses?
Colin Kaepernick.
No. He actually does say that Colin Kaepernick's a little loser on this episode.
Great, great, wonderful, yeah. Wonderful.
But you know who is not a loser?
LeBron James.
Alex's guest.
He's the fella who got evicted by his parents in court this week. He's
going to
be with us in studio today.
Guess? That's the yes, biggest fucking no great.
So we're looking forward to having this discussion after Mark Randazzo, one of the top free speech lawyers in the country, joins us, 30-year-old man evicted by parents. says, I'm not a crazy person. Well, I think he's an interesting fellow. We're gonna talk to him. And you're gonna get to hear from him unfiltered live.
So that's his
what
big guest.
What the fuck is happening?
That's his big guest.
I studiously read the headline of this story 30 times and I was like, nah, not clicking this.
Hard pass.
No.
Hard
don't
pass.
Need it. Don't need it in my life. Don't need to know it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
So this is not, the.
All right. So why did he get evicted?
Well, because his parents told him to leave and he wouldn't. He's 30. They gave him notice a bunch of times and tried to get him out.
You could just do that?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
When my parents were like, if my parents were like, you gotta go, I'd be like, shit, I guess I have to go. I didn't realize you could just be like, nah, dude.
And take it
sue
to
me.
Court.
Sue me.
Well, I mean.
They were still living together while they were trying. Oh,
they're
God.
Still living together now.
God damn it.
He has till June 1st to get out.
I hate people.
Right.
Burn this country to the ground.
It's awful. But look, here's the thing. The media, I think, is being derelict in its duty. There's a couple places that I've seen that have reported this well. Other people have not. A lot of people are reporting this as like, this guy is a representation of the millennials and they're entitled and think they deserve.
Right. Yeah, that sounds right.
This guy is crazy.
Yeah, blame all millennials for this one.
I don't mean to, I even hate that I'm saying crazy because that's somehow like.
He's on InfoWars.
But you'll see that he doesn't belong there. Okay. He's slightly conservative in his own reporting, but he doesn't belong there.
Okay.
The issue is, I don't want to say he's crazy because that's like judging mental illness and what have you, but he is mentally ill. He is someone who, and also is a fuckhead, on some other levels.
All right.
And there's much bigger issues to deal with here, and treating him like he's some sort of a hilarious, look at this fucking loser, wouldn't get off his parents' couch.
Yeah.
Is doing a disservice to the truth. It's doing a disservice to this guy. It's really insulting to this guy's parents, who, we don't really know what their position on it is because they've been trying to stay out of the fucking spotlight.
Wisely.
They don't want to deal with this being a media zoo, and they probably don't want their kid to have to deal with that either, although he's courting the press, as evidenced by going on fucking InfoWars.
Yeah.
And it's just a mess. We'll get into like the various aspects of this, but this story really, really, really troubles me. And the idea that Alex has him on and behaves the way he does, God damn it, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in
this
my life.
This is the big guest.
And this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on
this
Alex's show.
This is the big
show.
Guest.
Yes.
You're not fucking with me.
I am not.
Because if this turns out to be a weird ad pivot for a bunker that you can hide from your parents while living underneath their basement, I'm going to fucking lose my mind.
That would be smarter.
That would be smarter.
It does actually lead to the weirdest ad pivot of all time. Before we get there, we gotta listen to, the small guest, which is this guy, Mark Rondazza, who's a lawyer. And Alex has him on mostly just to talk about all the lawsuits against, him.
He has him on for free legal advice.
Kind of.
Yep.
And like reassurance, be like, hey, this is a bad lawsuit, right? And he's like, yeah, I guess. At the end, actually, Alex is like, I'm thinking about countersuing. And the guy's like, yeah, I mean, if you want to explore slapback provisions, I never tell people not to.
Billable hours.
And then, dude, like, you have to understand what he's doing is like, Alex is like, should I sue Sandy Hook family members for suing me? And the guy's like, you bet. This isn't good.
Great.
But it turns out that Mark Rondazza is also a fuckhead. The second guy in 2 minutes I've called a fuckhead. But this
who could have guessed?
God. This guy belongs on InfoWars.
Okay.
This is in a conversation about
one of the top free speech lawyers out there.
This, I mean, he has the right to say whatever he wants, but
sure.
So do I, you fuckhead. This guy, this next clip is in a conversation about, how like, hey, look, Morgan Freeman was just like hitting on ladies. And like,
great.
Hey, maybe women and feminists are too uptight.
When's enough? What number of hugely powerful men do we need to get confirmation we're monsters before we're like, I think we can trust the Me Too before the rich old people?
It's always just one more. We just need one more.
One
next,
more.
Next one we'll
next
take.
One we'll yeah, trust. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
It's this, you know, you've got this loud contingent of a very small group of people who really, you know, I think.
Women.
I think it comes from mental illness from women who just don't like their dads. You know, they have this paradigm in their head.
Great
that
analysis.
They think that every guy is somehow evil and they've got to beat this out of society, that there can be absolutely no masculinity at all. And it's ultimately going to create, I think, a crisis, if it hasn't already. I mean, we got to be worried about this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing also with liberal Democrat Party women, with other Republicans that I know, that they, like these hotels downtown in Austin. Yes. So I'm married. I'm not involved in any of this, but sure. I hear about people. The Democrat women want alpha males that will actually go and treat them bad and actually say horrible things to them. And I'm like, I wouldn't even do that if they wanted you to. But that's the whole point is there's the other sick side of this that a lot of these women say that all masculinity is bad, but in truth, they're really looking for somebody to treat them bad. And you've got 50 Shades of Grey.
Stop.
Great. Yeah.
Stop kink shaming people.
Go to Pornhub if you're going to fucking 50 Shades of Grey is why. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, dude.
So, that sucks. But one of the reasons I played that is like, hey, this guy sounds like everybody on InfoWars. He's a fucking lawyer. You know, he's like a guy who goes on CNN.
Top free speech lawyer.
What? He's not a slouch.
No. He's just, look, sure, I am a lawyer, but that doesn't mean I can't think that all women should have their resistance beat out of them physically.
I just want to illustrate that these worldviews that we look at and we see in these people, they don't just exist in the hallowed halls of InfoWars Studio. Anyway, in this next clip, Randazza says something else terrible.
Look, it's everything is about power and domination. I mean, everything.
Except sex.
So imagine you could walk into a room and everybody's supposed to play a certain game, but all you have to do is, you know, pull one card and you're automatically at a disadvantage. You know, this is a good way to target anyone and everyone who you might want to eliminate or climb on top of. It's the victim Olympics.
Let me ask you this before we go to break and come back with the First Amendment. When do you think we hit the bottom of this? When do we hit peak political correctness?
One day in the future.
I want to just be clear. Listen very carefully to what he's about to say and what Alex's response is.
There will be the Uber victim. It will be one victim to rule over all of them. You know, there will be a black lesbian in a wheelchair with an eye patch and every single possible victimization, and she will rule.
So it ends with...
It's dystopian. Yeah, look, it's a dystopian fairy tale, but, you know, it really is like this race to see who can be strong through victimization.
That's right. It's a race to make everybody be weak and lazy and stupid so they can be controlled.
Weak and lazy and stupid are the ways Alex is defining this. But what he's responding to is Mark Randazza talking about aspiring to be victim status, which he described as black lesbian female in a wheelchair.
So he knows who the victims are.
Well,
at the very least, he gets who he's fucking over with the bullshit that he's saying.
But he's also acting as if those are self-appointed things.
Oh, yeah.
And also the idea that he's like, so imagine you go into a room and everyone's playing a game and you pull a card and then you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, you got
it. What does that mean?
No, what that means, actually, that makes perfect sense because that is a perfect randomization of birth and how it fucks you over.
But you pull a card.
Like, you pull a card that says, I was born black in America, and you're like, fuck, I am an immediate disadvantage.
No, but he's implying that that's how you succeed by, like, somehow that makes it easier for you to succeed if you're disadvantaged. And it's like...
Sure. Whatever.
But that's the
only... He's fucking stupid.
The only people who would ever subscribe to that is people who are on the highest level of the social hierarchical matrix.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, we're actually the ones who are the victims.
It's the victim Olympics, and you are calling yourself a victim?
Somewhat, yes.
Of the victim Olympics?
Yeah, because
you're not a victim.
Well, because the globalists.
By not being a victim.
You're a victim.
You become a victim.
I don't get to pull a card.
Yeah!
Man.
It's like I get everything and you guys don't get anything and now you're blaming me for it because I keep you from getting things?
The cards all have negative values on it and you're mad you don't get to pull a card.
Yeah. Fuck.
Calm
you.
Down.
Fuck off.
All right, so Jordan, you have we have a bit left to get through. You're going to enjoy every minute of this.
All right.
I think the first clip is the longest one, but it's worth it. This might be a mic down clip as we meet the 30-year-old who whose parents.
I'm still waiting for this to not be real.
Took him to court.
This has got to not be real.
His name is Michael Rotondo.
It's the same guy.
Michael Rotondo, not Mark.
Mark Randazza is Mark the same Randazza. Guy. Hey, we've got the 30-year-old. It's Mark Randazza. Come on down.
He just puts on a wig. So here we go.
Michael Rotondo, thanks for coming in studio with us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You have been one of the biggest stories in the United States and in other parts of the world.
I also want to be clear. Keep your ears open to see if you can tell where Alex realizes this was a bad idea. It's pretty early.
World this week.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's not what I was. All I wanted was just to get what I asked for, what I believed justice to be. I didn't really want to have it turn into a media thing, but it's fine.
I understand. But USA Today, there's the headline right there. 30-year-old man evicted by his parents. I'm not a crazy person. You know, I watched you speak at the court. I don't think you're crazy.
Right.
I think you're a little quirky, but everybody's a little quirky in ways. And it's easy to get you on here and be mean to you.
Right.
And say, you know, that you're a 30-year-old bum.
Mm-hmm.
Because the real bums are the people that are on welfare and make the public pay for their abortions and for their sure. sex changes. That's the level above it. Or here in Travis County where they, again, make the citizens pay for illegal aliens, health care, and abortions and things like that. And illegal aliens out in California wanting free health care and anchor babies. And my whole issue is we're told these are wonderful, perfect angels, but then the very same liberal media piled on, so did the conservative media, and called you a bum and a joke and a slob and a delusional idiot and all these things, which if that's true, that makes all of us even bigger morons to then at the same time, like 1984, hold it in our mind that all these other people are entitled to free stuff.
Now, real quick, listen to Rotondo's response and listen to Alex's response to his response.
I don't know if any series of words has made less sense than all the shit that he just said.
Well, it's just like, hey, look, everyone's saying that you suck and you're a piece of shit. And I think Alex is kind of enjoying saying those things.
Yeah, but
as
he can't.
Someone
yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's
but he
kind
can't.
Of enjoying being like, hey, fuck you.
Everybody,
you piece of shit.
Hey, everybody thinks you're a bum.
Everyone thinks
full
you suck.
Stop.
But at least you're not one of these welfare queens or
right.
these illegal
immigrants. Which boggles my, but like, he's pissed off that we have to pay for illegal immigrants' abortions. And at the same time, he's pissed off that illegal immigrants are having anchor babies.
Uh-huh.
Pick one or the other to be mad about.
Also,
you don't get both.
So he has a child who he is not allowed to be in contact with because
right.
of something.
Right.
It's unclear what. He claims it's because he's too poor. And the court is like, you're too poor to be around your kid.
Right.
Which I don't think happens a lot.
I halfway believe it in this stupid fucking country. That makes as much sense as anything else.
But I don't believe it because I think this guy's a liar. But, I think that something did happen that made his baby's mother say, hey, we got to go to court. You can't be around your son.
Yeah. And usually there's a reason.
And you think,
hey, guess what? Trust women.
And you know what? Do you think that they're not on some sort of welfare because he doesn't have a job and won't work? She has to support
anchor babies.
She has to support a child by
abortions.
Herself without the father of the child being able to contribute anything.
They're
do you
bums.
Think
they're the real bums.
He's a fucking bum.
No, they're the real bums.
I don't think I don't like the idea of throwing stones and what have you, but I will say that if someone is, that's what I'll say.
I'm out. Hard pass.
Anyway, Alex has said, at least you're not one of these bums.
Right.
You're
a different bum.
One of these bums on welfare. And here is Rotondo's response, which is crazy.
I think that you shouldn't have people who need things like food and shelter in your own communities. I don't think it's something that you want.
I'm just saying, just look at the red light. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Doing great.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good thing to have. I don't think that even if it costs more, even if to raise taxes to get these people food and housing, I don't think it's something that you would wish to forgo, because then you have hungry people and crime's going to go up. Isn't that going to contribute to crime, don't you think?
That's one of the historically more reasonable arguments to that quite.
What the fuck? So Alex says.
Well, I mean, the only way to combat a lot of that need-based crime is by taking care of those needs. Now, there's no way possible to take care of those needs.
No, everybody
knows that that's an impossibility.
So if you track what just happened there, you have him being like, they say you're a bum, but you're not a bum because you're not on welfare, when he's clearly creating a situation where someone needs to be on welfare.
Yep.
Then,
like Home Depot.
Then he comes at Rotondo's response is like, I think that if people need food or shelter, then even if it costs more in taxes, we need to support that, because the alternative is that'll probably raise crime, with people not being able to find the bottom rung of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Alex being like, yeah.
Well, historically, you are absolutely correct.
That is reasonable.
Now, I will die before I let that happen.
That's crazy!
I do want crime to go down, but I will murder anyone who attempts to help me.
He could have a professor. He could have a senator. Like a liberal, progressive senator on, who would make a similar point. He'd be like, fuck you piece of shit!
Yep.
Somehow this guy is more high status than Alex.
He's famous!
It's crazy!
He's famous!
Why is he allowing-
He's the top story of this week, Dan!
Why is he allowing him to make a pro-welfare argument?
Because he's boggled.
And then agreeing with it!
He's boggled.
This is
He doesn't
nuts.
Know what's going on.
This is out of the gate.
Yeah,
this
Alex clearly has what? No clue what's going on here.
So he is-
What do you think Alex thought was going to happen?
I think we'll get to that. I can't spoil, the twists and turns this
okay.
goes down.
Right.
But I do want to show you a picture of the two of them. I'll post this on our Facebook group. But I just think that this really well sums up how the mood was. It's Alex with his hands clasped almost in a praying position.
Looking up
and into the middle distance.
While the other dude is staring bullets into his ear.
Confused. So in this next clip, Alex talks about how the path to being subservient and dependent usually goes through your parents.
Why is this happening?
I don't know.
Well, Michael, here's the bottom line. I can't get on a high horse and say you're the worst person when it comes to the whole welfare society out there, when on a scale of 1 to 10, you're about a 3 or a 4, because
cool.
One of the most natural ways for people to turn into dependents and to go down this road you're on is with their parents.
I would fucking know. My dad gave me $20,000 at least to run InfoWars, and I used to use one of the buildings that he owned as my studio. And now, weirdly, though he has no expertise in the field, he's my human resources department.
Yep.
I don't fucking...
Yep.
So, Alex, I think you know a little bit about
yeah.
the path to dependency being through your parents.
On a scale of 1 to 10... I would call him a 6-level bum.
At 40-something years old.
I can't get on my high horse and call you the worst human being. Clearly, I enjoy calling you the worst.
So in this next clip, it becomes clear that Alex says,
look, you can judge me all you want, but I would never call you a wasteful layabout piece of shit. I would never call you that. I've heard a lot of people call you that before. And listen, I'm not saying it's true.
So in this next
I'm not saying it's not true.
In this next one, it becomes clear that Alex has no details on this story whatsoever. He just knows that this guy went viral and
yep.
he's gettable.
All right.
So
that sounds right.
What are you going to do when your parents can no longer pay for anything? What are you going to do when they have to go to the nursing home, or God forbid, you know, have a stroke or heart attack or die?
I've been trying to leave the home for years. And it's as a result of that I felt as though I would be able to in about 3 months from now, which was the case. Well, the case I made was for 6 months, because that was what.
So you agree it's a form of slavery to make them take care of
to make. Yeah, I don't want to make them take care of me.
But okay. They've been trying to get you out for 6 years.
No. Where is that coming from?
I saw that on the news. Is that not right?
That's not right. Where do you have that handy?
On the news said that you lost your job 8 years ago, 6 years ago, that they've been trying to get you out for years. Is that not true?
No, first part's true, second part false.
All right.
I don't particularly care.
I love the way that Alex is so disarmed by this guy being just weird.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh, the thing that I claimed isn't true.
Right.
Then I will accept it.
Right.
For you, somehow, I'm cool with it.
So,
all he had to do is be like, where'd you see that? And he's like, I don't know. Whatever.
I don't particularly care about the specifics, because I'm in the same camp as you, that like, if my parents told me to leave, I would leave.
Yeah.
If my parents if I were 19 and they're like, you gotta get out of the house, I'd be like, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. All right. Here I go.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take years.
Put my little bindle on my shoulder and start walking.
It wouldn't take months. And especially if my parents were as gracious and nice as his parents clearly were. That I think that this state of affairs that we're in terms of this even being something that's discussed, is tragic. I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's fun to point a finger and laugh at this. I think this is a absolute human tragedy.
Is that what this is supposed to be? Is this supposed to be a, hey, look how dumb this guy is?
No.
Is that what the story is?
That's what the story is in a lot of publications, a lot of clickbait stories.
Why?
But here's the thing I need
to... What are we doing?
Here's the thing I need to talk about. His parents offered him and gave him $1,100 to find his own place in February of this year. They just gave him $1,100. He took the money, but he used it for, quote, various other expenses and didn't end up moving out of the house. He claims on Alex Jones' show that he wants to move out, and he would have if they'd given him 6 months' notice, but that his actions don't really seem to indicate that that's the case. But again, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit for a number of reasons. One of them is that he seems like a dangerous guy.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to read to you here from the Rome Sentinel, an article here this is from a few years back. A Syracuse man accused of stalking a woman at her home over the past week was arrested outside her window Thursday night. Police say Michael Rotondo, 22 years old, sent a woman several threatening text messages earlier this week before finally showing up outside her home on Wednesday. The victim called 911, but Rotondo fled before police arrived. He returned Thursday night, however, and police caught him walking around the woman's residence at about 7:15 p.m., charged with two counts each of third-degree stalking, trespassing, and one count of second-degree menacing. Police say Rotondo was arraigned and sent to county jail on $4,500 cash bail or bond. An order of protection was filed on behalf of the victim, and police say Rotondo was ordered to surrender his firearms. He had guns.
Great.
So he had to give up his guns temporarily.
Dude, wait, he gets...
he got his guns back.
God damn it, you're not allowed to have guns.
When his mom...
At that point.
When his mom was trying to encourage him to move out of the house, she sent him a note because they weren't really speaking to each other at all. And she suggested that he, quote, sell other things that have significant value. Example, your stereo, some tools, etc. She also says, quote, this is especially true for any weapons you may have. You need the money and will have no place for the stuff. He had two weapons. He had a compound bow, which he uses recreational, and a lever action 30-30 rifle, which he says he uses for protection. So this is a guy who has guns. He has a small child that he's not taken care of and is not allowed to be in contact with for a mysterious case that happened in 2017 that we don't have the details on, not entirely sure about. He's been arrested for stalking a woman. He was caught outside her fucking window, years ago. This is a dangerously disturbed person.
If you even get a sexual harassment complaint filed against you at an office, you should have your guns removed. You should not be. Look,
yeah, generally.
I mean, dudes should not be allowed to have guns. That's just if you're anywhere near. Every time there is any kind of bullshit, there is also a history of domestic violence or violence towards women.
Right.
There is always fucking there.
Right.
It's always there.
And
if it comes near that, You don't get guns.
And in this case, especially, we have a situation where this guy is being thrust into the spotlight way more than he is clearly emotionally able to handle.
Yep.
He's being thrown out of his parents' house, the place that seemed at least like a safe haven for him. He's not allowed to contact his child.
Nope.
He has a history of stalking women.
Right.
He has a gun. All of the, if anything happens in the near future where he kills somebody,
yep,
no one should be surprised.
Nope.
That's not to say he will. I'm not saying that.
Nope.
But if he does, boy, those signs are all there.
Yeah. And to everybody in the media, guess
do
what?
Better.
You're complicit.
Do better.
You're a part of the problem.
So also in
fucking garbage.
To illustrate even further a pattern of sort of resentment towards women, I would like to point to the fact that in May 2017, he sued Best Buy because he worked there and they fired him for not coming into work when he was scheduled on a weekend. He claims that he had an agreement with the management that he could spend time with his kids so he didn't have to work on weekends, and that female employees were given more latitude. Best Buy completely disagrees. He has decided to defend himself in court, pro se, and I've looked into some of that. It does not look like that case is going very well.
Nah.
But
fuck Best Buy.
But there's still the...
I'm fine if they both lose.
But a piece of his argument is a resentment that, like, you guys treat women so much better. And that, again, is the same mentality. Anyway, that's why...
Fucking dudes.
So anyway, all of that is just to say that's why it makes sense he's on InfoWars.
Yeah.
He has the cutout in the profile of a domestic white terrorist.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the Stormfront Reddit page or whatever it is. His handle on Stormfront is, I need to move out. Like, fucking, ugh.
We're not nearly done with this.
God damn it.
Here's where it goes next.
I did think the media made this all one-dimensional to make fun of you and to laugh at you.
Sure.
And I also said some, you know, derogatory things that I've said into your face here, just being honest with you, because I want to have a man-to-man talk with you.
Uh-huh.
On air and off air, I'm tempted to offer you a job.
Okay.
As a reporter.
What?
Okay.
And even get you a crew.
What?
Okay.
In New York, but you'd have to actually go out and do the shoots and do the reports. You know, Howard Stern hires interesting people. And I think you call yourself a conservative. I think we could turn you into a formidable individual. But we're going to have some discussions.
All right. Now that's New York City or New York State.
But see, you may have to go where we want you to go. That's part of being taking care of yourself.
Well,
is you have to make compromises with your employers or other people.
I just want to be able to see my son.
You're not allowed to.
I understand.
Right.
Is Alex so, secretly
sure,
his
probably,
dad?
That's how the discussion happens. But
so you've
Alex. I feel like Alex is secretly his dad.
You've touched on what I'm trying to flesh out as this goes along. Alex wants to be his dad.
Wow. This is weird now.
I told you.
This is really weird.
I told you.
What is happening?
This is the weirdest thing that
Alex,
I've ever heard
Alex
on this
is,
show.
Alex is like, now here's, we're going to build a line of credit for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get you set up in your own place. Now you're going to have to take on some responsibilities that you're now used to taking on. But son, I think I shouldn't have called you son. I didn't mean to call you son.
But
I think this is a good idea that's going to make your life a lot better. Oh my God, this is so weird.
Alex views himself as the spiritual father of all the wayward, disaffected white males. So why wouldn't he actually put himself in the position of being the surrogate dad that this guy needs when he doesn't need a dad? He doesn't. He has a dad. He is mentally ill. He needs to go to a hospital. He's someone who's clearly shown the signs of, like, being a risk,
yeah,
being a danger.
Yeah.
He should be in a hospital. Not in the news.
Yep. Thanks, Reagan.
Not on InfoWars, especially. And to be fair, this gets so ridiculous. This next clip. Oh, boy.
If you don't go out and work and live your life and go through stress, you don't become strong.
That's right.
Your brain falls apart and you become sedentary and have Alzheimer's types effects by even age 30.
Right. Okay.
Sure.
And I've run into it with kids that play with phones and TVs all day.
Mm-hmm.
They have that same look in their eye that you do. There's an intelligence there, but you are in kind of a mesmerized trance state.
Do you think Alex would say this to a black guy? A black 30-year-old who didn't want to move out of his parents' house? Do you think that conversation would ever happen?
No.
You don't have a drive state going.
My head's in the clouds is what you're saying.
Your head's
in the clouds. I think you would call him a criminal.
Probably.
And you're smart.
but you're not completely
productive,
conscious.
Okay.
And it's beyond a laziness. It's a,
I love that you're not completely. And then he tries to finish his sentence productive. And Alex's like conscious.
It's a spirit. It's a program. How much TV and video games do you play and watch?
Very little. I don't do any video games except in video games.
Speaking of video games, I'd like to announce that I just got married, in Stardew Valley.
Long time
ago. Congrats, Dad.
Thank you.
We're all very happy.
Television. I try to watch television because I need to stop. I need to have some time where I stop working so that I can sleep. I need to have some,
break. When are you working?
I work all day, every day almost.
On what?
Law. Well, I have a business.
You have a business?
Yeah, I have a business.
Well, then why don't you move out of your parents' house?
I'm going to move out. I expect to be able to.
Let me ask you a question when we come back.
All right.
I got key questions for you when we come back.
Okay.
We're going to discuss this straight ahead. We have him here, the 30-year-old evicted, about to be evicted. I want to find out if you've actually left yet. On the other side, I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com.
We got him. We got him.
The exclusive that everybody has been waiting to get, we're the ones who grabbed him.
So
what is happening?
I can't find out. I couldn't find out what his business is that he's running, but I don't think it's a business.
Nah.
The other stuff, what are you working on all the time?
You didn't hear him correctly. He's doing business.
That could be.
Yeah.
But then he's working on law. That isn't like law. That's him defending himself as he sues Best Buy.
Right.
And tries to get his son back when the judge has said, you cannot see your child.
Right.
So Alex, it gets real generous in this next, clip. Again, this is not something that he would ever do in any other circumstance. This is so fucked up.
This is how capitalism works, my friend. I said, I will pay you $1,000 just to come on, just so you get a little bit of money and hopefully learn how to make your own money and go out and be free and have your own wife, your own life. I know you've been married before.
I've been married before.
Or have a child.
There's also, I love that frustration that Alex is like, fuck, don't say you had a kid out of wedlock. there's a moment where he's kind of resents that he had to correct him, like, I was never married. I just have a kid. Fine. You have a kid.
Right.
The point is that here's $3,000, my friend.
That's capitalism?
What is happening?
That's capitalism.
Is he just welfaring?
That's capitalism.
He's welfaring on air.
That's capitalism,
that's
my friend.
That's not capitalism.
Here's why it's capitalism.
No!
I offered you $1,000 to come on my show. Now here's $2,000 more.
Right.
For no reason.
Capitalism.
Because I feel you need it.
Yeah.
That's capitalism.
Yeah, I need you. Here's what you need. You need to have a home. And you don't have one right now. You need to have food. And you don't have food right now. Now, I'm not saying that this should be afforded to non-whites.
No.
But I am saying that all white people should have welfare.
I have a strong suspicion that he's going to spend that on, quote, various other expenses.
Mm. So that you can hopefully get on your own feet.
I can, and this means a lot to me, and you're keeping me off the street with this.
Well, listen.
I appreciate it.
I can't sit here and, you know, just put you down and call you names. And I've said this.
I'm going to do it.
Really wants to.
Yeah, I'm getting in here is.
Really wants to.
The globalists, the social engineers,
mm-hmm.
They want to make us all dependent. They've set up a culture and a system that is trying to arrest our development and it is electronically programming our brains to put us into a type of artificial Asperger's type state, but not an Asperger's state where people are even able to carry out tasks. It's a spectrum, and it's electromagnetic, and it's mainstream news now that this is happening. And our embassy staff are getting hit with it.
The embassy staff.
Amped up rates. The cell phone radiation is causing heart problems, brain damage, doubling brain tumors just with the old 3 and 4G.
Doubling.
And so what I'm telling you is I can't sit here and judge you wanting to be with your parents, having some type
that's
of you know, psychological you know baby thing where you don't want to leave. I can't analyze
where
the whole
did that
deal,
come from?
But I'm telling you, this won't go well for you down the road.
No shit. But it's not a psychological...
Is he scaring him straight? Is this a scared straight program?
That's the other angle he's trying to take. This is not a situation where he wants to be around his parents. He said, quote, the deaf people who don't know sign language. That's how he described the tortured relationship with his parents as he continues to live under their roof. Parents and son are avoiding being in the same rooms together, he said, and when they do, they ignore each other. Dinner time is like a buffet line. Strangers line up for food, he said. He waits until they're out of the kitchen before cooking himself. Then he goes into the dining room or up to his bedroom. So it's not a situation where he wants to be around his kid, some arrested development situation. It's a hostile, fucked up guy who needs to be in a fucking hospital to have a chance actually living a life.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex.
So is this supposed to be a magnanimous stunt? I'm sorry.
I agree with you. Yes. Okay. To answer your question, yes.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a magnanimous stunt that he's bestowing upon this viral star.
Yeah.
But we're going to
go even more viral.
I'm going to have to trim down some of this because you got to get out of here to go to your show. But we're also going to have to move. We're going to have to truck through
this. All right.
Because there's some clips that cannot be skipped.
Okay.
And this next one is one where, forgive my use of this term, but Alex just kind of thinks that this guy's a pussy.
Yeah, and I'm saying you're really common. You're not this.
I'm not that.
I'm saying what we're discussing here is super garden variety. It's the trend.
Okay.
It's not the exception. It's the trend.
Okay.
It's growing. And most people that are like this act just like you. They're usually witty in ways. They're smart. They have little comebacks. They have all their little ways of doing things. And I think it's a gross form of selfishness.
You're calling me a millennial.
Well, you are.
All right. I am a millennial. I will admit that.
As a pejorative.
But what is it with millennials? I'm not bragging, bro, but when I was
You gotta pay close attention to this next part.
Alright.
I mean, I'm not bragging, bro, but when I was 11.
Oh, no.
I'm not gonna even get into it all. The point is.
Uphill both ways.
Well, by the time I was 12, I was, all intents and purposes, had done the things men do. Okay, been in a bunch of fights, already been with women, whole nine yards, mm-hmm. looked like I was 16. When I was 16, looked like I was 20-something. Uh-huh. I was 21, already on the radio, 22 syndicated. I'm 44 now. I'm not saying I'm that great of a person.
So just...
I'm fairly certain you just proved you weren't.
Just to be clear, the idea of having penetrative sex with someone at 11 or 12 is what's considered inappropriate sexual behavior based on development.
That's true.
That's not something that you're supposed to be doing.
I've heard of that before.
At 11, like 10, 11, 12, that range, psychiatrists, they, you know, like you're supposed to be interested in nudity. You're supposed to be like towards people and
right.
stuff like that. But the idea of actually fucking, that means something has gone terribly wrong in your life. And if Alex Jones is saying that, look, I fucked at 11, that means something very, very serious. I'm not one to psychoanalyze somebody over the radio, but that is severely fucked up.
Yeah. That's a great psychoanalysis. Dude, that's fucked up.
And the fact that he's using that as a way to be like, you're weird.
Look at how great I am.
You're weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucked at 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
what are you, crazy? I was a man before you were a boy.
So this sort of continues in that thread of like, you know, like, men. This is like right after Alex talks about how great his dad and grandpa were. Rotundo has a little rejoinder.
They were raised to be capable.
Yeah.
Not like today.
Okay, so how were you raised?
I wouldn't really characterize myself as having been raised necessarily.
Whatever. I don't care. Moving along. Like I don't know what that means. He doesn't actually explain. So this is in this clip, Alex. Like
he was a latchkey kid, except he just didn't go outside.
More or less.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't know what latchkey kid means when
right.
Alex asks him.
Okay, of
but
course.
Here's where we continue, Alex, just, I want to be your dad. That sort of thing. This is so weird, and it leads-
Think about your dad.
It leads to the fucking worst ad pivot I've ever heard in my
no.
life.
No.
When are you gonna get out now?
I'm considering that I can have, well, it depends on how many hands I have to help me, because I've had some people offer to help me. But it's basically getting my stuff to
well, you just got $3,000.
I got the things out of there.
Plenty.
and put them in another place, and then.
But the $3,000, you can't have that much stuff. We're talking, you know, $300-$400 a moving company.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to save. I have until,
See, everyone isn't operating on your timetable, bro.
I have until January 1st. You're telling me I got to get up sooner? Or, June 1st.
June 1st.
Yeah.
I'm going to just try to put your email out or something. Maybe our listeners want to help you.
No.
I mean, help you move your stuff.
Don't put my email.
There might be a girl out there who thinks you're pretty handsome.
That's not going to help me.
Is she
one of those weightlifter ones? Or one of those really strong girls that can, you know.
Hey, folks, we got free shipping on all the big top items. 50% off on a bunch of the new bestsellers, including the Real Red Pill Plus, now with enhanced energy.
What?
InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLive.com. I need your support.
I need your support because I'm in the middle of an awful interview.
This is weird.
So he then.
And that right there, that little bit of like, a moving company can't be more than $300 or $400. And he's like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
That is a man with a genuine mental illness fear of
compulsive disorder,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Like, yeah. Not
to judge or shame him, but like,
no, absolutely not. Up until this point, it was like, oh, he's got something right there. Listening to that conversation is such listening to a conversation between a dad who has never met his son and a son who is really in pain.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is.
Yeah. And this guy is very much struggling.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I've got three more clips I need to play in order for this all to come to its natural conclusion.
Okay.
I'm going to skip this next one because it's just Alex trying to give him some career counseling.
Great.
And he's like, what do you like to do? He's like, I like to watch.
What is happening?
I like to watch YouTube videos of machines. Like, have you thought about being an engineer?
Yeah. 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 That's like, why not try football?
That's like,
go back to high school. Have you considered going back to high school? You look like a young man.
It's very reminiscent of my dad telling me to go to a grad school.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then it gets to this, and we learn something very sad about Mike Rotondo.
Do you have any friends?
Sort of. Not close friends. I don't really have any close friends.
You have to get out, though.
Of the house.
Just, you need to go out and get out of the house. Yes.
I need to socialize.
Yes. Your parents are trying. See, there's always been people like you. You're a good guy.
All right.
There's all different types of people. The internet and computers are allowing people to plug into this virtual reality, and every metric and every statistic says it's destroying people. Netflix is making the population growth rate go down. People aren't having sex because of Netflix.
I don't think that's the case.
Humanity is dying. Our IQs are lowering. We're in a mesmerized state. You need to come out of it. Come on. Michael, you can do it.
There's a new season of Arrested Development.
You can do it. You understand, you don't have to be in this other place. You can be here now. There's an entire universe right there waiting for you. Have you ever run around in the mountains at night with a full moon? It's about 30 degrees up, your shirt off.
I've done some things like that.
Stuff like that. That's how you wake up and recharge. You need to not just be hiding in your house. You run around on mountaintops at night when there's a full moon with your shirt off.
What?
30 degrees.
Not exactly that.
Okay. That's what I do for entertainment. But the point is that you need to do things like that.
Why?
I need to run around like a lunatic.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to help my case.
But you know, it is lunatic. Lunacy.
Really?
No, you got it.
See, you've been programmed by the modern system. You need the real lunacy. Gee. I'm crazy, so I can't go nuts.
Oh, boy.
This is weird.
So
this just got really fucked up.
You know why? Because Alex is checked out.
It was
out
fucked
now.
Up before, but this is wild.
Well, because Alex is checked out. He's like, he offered him a job out the gate.
Right.
And he was like, I don't know. And he wasn't interested.
I would have to leave my home. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm not good at doing that.
Then he gave him $3,000, and he's like, this should help you be able to move. He's like, I'm not going to use that to move. I'll do that myself. Bro, no one works on your timetable.
Yeah.
Then he's like, what kind of job do you want? I like to watch videos of machines. You should be an engineer. He's like,
yeah.
I don't think I want to do that. It's too monotonous. And then Alex, like, has a news story, like a pizza place offered him a job. And Mike's like, hey, do you have a link to that? Someone told me about it. I didn't see it. Like, he's excited to go work at this pizza place or whatever. It's Alex is just getting so goddamn frustrated because he's like, I want to be your dad and you're not letting me be your dad. I'm trying to give you good heart advice. So sad. And he's just, he's flipped.
Now. It's so weird because I guarantee this is the exact same conversation this guy has had with his real dad 400 times.
Undoubtedly.
This is the exact, same conversation.
Except, once his dad checked out, he didn't then say, have you run around on the mountaintop with your shirt off?
You're right. That might be the only way to get to
in
him.
In a full moon.
That might be the only way to get to
when
him.
When it's about 30 degrees.
It's about 30 degrees. That's what I do for fun. That's what I do for fun.
So
I definitely don't hang out in my mansion watching Netflix.
So that's wild. First of all, also, yeah, Netflix is making people not fuck. Great.
Sure.
So
famously, there's definitely not a phrase to use about Netflix and fucking.
Being sort of a metaphor for fucking.
Yeah.
So in a euphemism, as it were. You can see Alex is getting frustrated with him and sort of being like, I don't think this was a good idea.
No.
This might have blown up in my face a little bit. I smell the internet making fun of me.
Right.
At this point, he realizes, like, nah, I'm not doing a great job here.
No.
Maybe I should bring in my other surrogate son, Owen Schroyer.
No! What is happening?
To help me insult this kid.
This is an intervention?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and I don't want to be mean to this guy, but the media
say
acts
that
like
a lot.
He's so...
But he's also,
say that a lot immediately after, or immediately before saying mean things directly to this
but
guy.
But also, he's like, I don't want to be mean to this guy. Dude's sitting next to you.
Oh, and I don't want to be mean to this guy, but the media acts like he's so rare and everybody looks down their nose at it. This guy is the future right here on the course we are. And I'm trying to give him money, trying to get him a job. I'm like, hey, you want to be a reporter for us? I'm serious. And if you just do some basic stuff and get better and better, you can be really successful with us. But you got to go out and do it.
It sounds like I can do a lot of good with that.
Do what must be done, Lord Vader. Show no mercy.
I'm not a Star Wars fan.
I'm not. I'm a Palpatine fan. Oh. You didn't know Emperor Palpatine's my spirit animal?
No. They overlooked that when they were mucking me up.
Emperor Palpatine is my co-pilot.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Emperor Palpatine's my boyfriend.
I thought you had a wife.
I said my spirit animal. It's a joke.
Okay.
All right. It's a joke. Ian McDermott. Okay, the actor. He's hilarious. Emperor Palpatine is a comic genius. You know that. Owen Schroyer, you want to say something to this great
wait,
American?
No, we're just going
to
leave that hanging. We're just going to leave that hanging. That's just going to be out there, and we're just going to leave that hanging.
That's one of the worst bits I've ever seen be done. Like, that's a two-man act that will never have night two. You know, just like, he's like... Palpatine's my spirit animal. Oh, really? Emperor Palpatine's my co-pilot. I don't know what that means. Emperor Palpatine's my boyfriend. I thought you
don't
had
you
a
have
wife.
A wife?
It's a joke.
This it's actually kind of very good anti-comedy. Instead of yes and or no but
you can sense.
Hey, it's Star Wars. Luke, I am your father. I'm not really a Star Wars guy.
You can sense Alex's misery sitting there. Yeah. He's like, fuck. So he gets Owen in, and Owen keeps trying to be like, why don't you want to leave your parents' house? And he's like, I do. I want to move out.
Right.
I want to. I plan to. I just need a little more time to be able to do it. I don't believe that argument on his part, but he is saying that.
I do. I believe he wants to leave.
Yes.
And I believe he absolutely fundamentally cannot because of a mental illness.
I bet on some level he thinks if he had 6 months he would be able to.
Yeah, of course.
But he's not.
Of course.
He's not. He's probably thought that for 6 years.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, all that stuff is like, you're never going to penetrate into that mindset if you're like, why do you want to stay at home?
Right.
Because then that's an easy question for him to answer. You know, blah, 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 blah.
It's almost there should be some sort of profession that trains and studies about how to break through this type of mental illness.
Never.
And it should be one that is readily available to
fuck
anybody.
You. Fuck you. Sounds like a front for eugenics.
With this mental illness that would allow them to, at the very least, find some part of life that they can function happily within.
Stupid. Sounds stupid.
No, you just need somebody to be like, you should do this!
And then they shove iodine down your throat. So then Alex.
Try this burger. So, try this burger. Oh God. Super male vitality. It's going to get out of here. Burger. It's going to get out of here.
So, Alex brings in a cavalcade of InfoWars males.
This is a for real intervention.
Yes.
God damn it.
They all start coming in because Owen doesn't make any headway. And then so these other two guys who I don't even fucking know who they are. I don't even know what they do there. They come on and they're like, hey, bro. When I was 18, I joined the military because I was motivated. Where is your motivation? And he's just like, whatever. Just sort of like he has a lackadaisical response. One guy comes in and is like, what have you done that you're proud of? What's your thing that you're most proud of other than your kid? And he can't answer the question. He doesn't have anything that he can come up with.
Right.
And then 15 minutes later, he's like, oh, I thought of an answer to that guy's question. What I'm most proud of is my kid. And he's like, I said, not your kid. It's like, I don't want to play any clips of that because it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's watching this guy. They're not, I don't think they mean to humiliate him, but it's humiliating for the people asking the questions and for Mike. And I feel very bad about it.
If your question, it's not even question. No. If everything that you say to,
antagonistic.
If everything you say to a person is, why aren't you like me?
Right.
You're worthless.
Yeah. Why
fuck you?
Why aren't you getting laid, bitch?
Yeah. That's why are you different?
Right.
Stop it.
It's
stop being different.
It's disgraceful. And I'm saying that about a guy who I think is a danger. Like,
yeah.
That's the other.
I know.
That's the other piece of it.
That's a big part. A big part of why he's a danger is because never got help.
But that's why this is a really difficult thing to talk about because we have, on the one hand, I think it's awful the way Alex is behaving. And on the other hand, I find it very difficult to be fully empathetic towards Michael Rotondo because I think that we're only aware of him because of something that is 100% his fault and not his fault because of his mental illness.
Exactly.
And he's someone who has a history of doing horrible shit.
Right.
So anyway, we have one last clip and it's the only, it's what I would call the funny parting shot.
Okay.
Because after this is when a lot of the InfoWars people come in and they do that round robin, hey, you suck, bro.
Right.
Kind of thing. But this.
Did they at least form a line?
No, they just sort of, they have this weird like video camera with just a microphone in front of it and a backdrop of like Thomas Jefferson. And so people come up and it's a mess.
They come up like a spelling bee?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. And Alex keeps trying to get Daria to come ask him questions. She's like, I'm not fucking coming on camera. Yeah. You don't understand. So,
there can be no pictures of my face.
Yeah. So Alex then, he has some, I think that this begins with good advice.
Okay.
I think it does.
All right.
But then it goes off the rails.
I think you should take up
werewolf.
Something like kickboxing, something
join
athletic.
Football
are you engaged in any athletic?
I think that being athletic or at least like getting regular exercise
is a good thing for your mental health.
Yeah. There have been studies that have been done that it's absolutely beneficial. And the idea that he starts with kickboxing isn't a crazy idea. Because martial arts are a really good way to enforce discipline and that sort of thing.
As well as build up confidence.
I think there's a lot of positives in that suggestion.
For sure.
Now this goes off the rails.
Pursuits.
I like the bicycle. Let's see, ride my bicycle.
Another Bernie Sanders favorite?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is he around?
How would you like to be Bernie Sanders' assistant?
Probably wouldn't like to assist someone else.
I just figure because he wants to take care of everybody that's poor and that needs help, so I think he should give you a job. But you're not going to have any leftists actually offer anybody jobs. That's conservatives that do that. Were you breastfed?
I don't remember.
What the fuck? That long pause, and then,
were you breastfed?
Were you breastfed?
Oh, God.
That might be a little too personal, Alex. Alex, none of your business.
So, ultimately, I think Alex had no idea what the story was with this guy. He had no idea what to expect when he came into studio.
Yeah.
And thought on one level, I think at the beginning, he thought, I'm going to offer this guy a job. He's going to be blown away and be like, yep. Yes, sir. This is his Oprah moment.
That's what he's doing.
I can't wait to start. I love your operation. And then Alex is going to surprise him with $2,000 extra, which is going to be enough for him to move into a place in New York or somewhere near enough, maybe Hoboken, so yep. he can get into New yep. York City, regularly file reports. This is going to be great. He's going to open up the New York Bureau with this guy who already has a leg up because he went virally famous. And now Alex Jones is going to be the guy who gives him a job and sets him on the right path.
Yep.
Instead, he's a crazy dude who kind of makes a decent argument for why welfare is important.
Yep.
Alex has to, like, not argue with him because he doesn't know how to deal with this guy at that point.
Alex then demonstrates that welfare is a good way to deal with... God damn it.
Then the entire thing is, like, he gets thrown on his back foot by the, like, I think I might want to give you a job, and him being like, eh, I don't know. See, Alex can't handle that and then becomes Dad Jones, Papa Jones.
Yep.
And that doesn't work either.
Trying to correct all the mistakes his own father made.
And then they just humiliate him. It's yep. very, very awful.
And then reinforces all the mistakes his own father made.
It's very awful. And like, I don't know what to say about it. When I was watching this, I was like, this is supremely fucked up.
Yeah.
Because it's more about Alex than it is about Mike.
Oh, it's all about Alex.
It's 100% about Alex. And, you know, that guy is just there as a prop.
Yep.
And he's a... I mean, even the, like, supposedly benevolent intention of, like, I want to give this guy a job and give him money to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really just to suck off a little bit of that side virality.
Right.
That side viral... fame.
It's going to go even more viral when Alex saves the life of the 30-year-old who was evicted from his parents' home.
And
doesn't just save the life, but instead proves that every millennial, proves that everyone who is willing to work will become a success in Trump's America.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And then he's also going to reunite him with his son.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And then we're going to make a time machine and make sure he never stalks that lady.
Ugh. Ugh.
So anyway, fuck all this shit.
Fuck all this shit.
The present is out of control.
Yeah, that's wild.
Why is this his show?
Why is this happening? Here's how ridiculous his show is. You said that and I wanted to be surprised. And then I was kind of like, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't he have the random-ass 30-year-old who was evicted on his show?
That part isn't too crazy to me, but the way it plays out...
That's wild.
They don't seem to recognize, like, this is on air. You're dedicating an hour and a half of your show to this.
Yep.
When you're saying that the globalists are attacking you and Trump is under attack and...
Do you know what else is under attack, Dan?
What's that?
The traditional family. Yeah. And that's what Alex is trying to recreate here. Owen Schroyer is the older brother.
Right.
I assume Daria is the absent mother, which is how Alex prefers it.
Well, Leanne McAdoo is more of the absent mother.
She refuses to let him sit on his lap or whatever.
Oh, sure. She's withholding.
Exactly. That's the way you do it. Yeah. That's how you turn him into a man. You gotta go through the rituals. Ritual number one.
Coming on InfoWars.
Have a really fucked up childhood relationship with sex. Ritual number two. Have a really fucked up childhood relationship with other human beings and violence. Ritual number three. Run around on a mountaintop with your shirt off.
Around 30 degrees.
At 50, worthless.
No.
Anything higher than 50, chilly. Worthless.
It's got to be crisp.
Your nipples got to be real hard.
Got to be crisp.
It's all about the cut glass.
It's got to be the level of cold where when you breathe in through your nose, you can kind of feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Lips a little chapped.
You got to get out of here, so let's shut this down.
We have
a website where you can go check out our stuff. It's knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at knowledge_fight.
Correct. We're on Facebook.
We are, we have iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
We have iTunes?
We do.
Do you have iTunes?
I do.
Then you can find us there.
I barely use iTunes on the business end. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
I barely ever download podcasts on there, but all of you should, but only ours.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyway.
Or wherever podcasts are sold.
That's true.
Do they sell them?
No.
Okay.
There's other ways you can get them, even if you're on an Android or other stuff, although we're not on Stitcher.
Technology is amazing.
It is great.
Yeah.
We'll be back with another episode here pretty soon, and I'm excited that May is almost over and our schedule will go back to normal.
Yeah, no shit.
To a certain extent, this has been very difficult. We appreciate so much the audience.
Yeah, thank you for your patience.
Cool, and we'll be back to normal soon.
The, this month is paying for a lot of things, so it is. Thank you for your patience for this. And June 15th,
oh yeah,
9 p.m. doors open. Beginning. Please tell people my anxiety dreams are starting to kill me.
And
also my schedule. But I will tell you right now
who
absolutely should go fuck himself. And that is fucking Reagan for shutting down and closing so many mental health services in his term as president. I am fucking pissed off because this has affected not just my life, but your life. This has added to the homeless population. This has increased the amount of violent incidents that has occurred in our fucking country. Reagan also is the architect behind our income inequality issues. If you fucking remember that we didn't have this kind of difference in fucking CEO pay versus all of this shit. He also destroyed the fucking union system in this goddamn country when he broke the strike of the airport, and I'm fucking done with this shit. If Reagan is out there getting butt fucked in heaven, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.